The scripture reading today comes from the book of Romans. Romans chapter 8, we'll read verses 18 through 25. Romans chapter 8, beginning with verse 18. I believe that the present suffering is nothing compared to the coming glory that is going to be revealed to us. The whole creation waits breathless with anticipation for the revelation of God's sons and daughters. Creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice. It was the choice of the one who subjected it, but in the hope that creation itself will be set free from slavery to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of God's children. We know that the whole creation is groaning together and suffering labor pains up until now. And it's not only the creation. We ourselves who have the Spirit as the first crop of the harvest also groan inside as we wait to be adopted and for our bodies to be set free. We were saved in hope. If we see what we hope for, that isn't hope. Who hopes for what they already see? But if we hope for what we don't see, we wait for it with patience. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Are you a glass half empty kind of person or a glass half full kind of person? Do you view the world from a pessimistic or an optimistic perspective? From the vantage point of scarcity or abundance? How does your faith frame the vivid and often painful realities of our day? In times like these, how can we possibly see anything but a glass half empty, and a leaky glass at that? How do we experience faith as more than blind, optimistic pie in the sky? How do we keep our eyes lifted upward when the pie in the sky, along with it, seem to be falling all around us? What assurance and hope does our faith offer us in the midst of difficult and dark realities of life? We tend to think that we are facing things nobody has ever faced before. We think we are bearing a load heavier than others have ever had to bear. That might be an assumption which we can address in another sermon, but for today, let's give some thought to others who have faced struggles in their day and emerged with a faith which can inspire the light and hope for our journey. Faith has long since been about waiting with assurance and with perseverance for what is yet to emerge. The Apostle Paul heard the groaning of creation in his day, as did the prophet Isaiah. They both tell us that this groaning is associated with the suffering of childbirth. New life is struggling to emerge. Following the suffering, the struggle, and the anguish, something willed by God, but not yet birthed, will surely be born. Hearing this groaning in our day, Walter Brueggemann tells us, under Paul's imagery, newness is never cozy. It arrives through a struggle that turns out to be birth. Though along the way, the struggle might have been mistaken for death pangs. The future is not easy. It's not a convenient gift. It is not an automatic next that comes with progress. It's not a neat technological accomplishment akin to solving a puzzle. It's rather a mystery-shrouded gift of God that all the creatures are invited to receive in deep cost. The cost of acknowledging that the old creation has failed and is dysfunctional, the awareness that the new creation requires disciplined, intentional reception. As a result, the move from old to new entails bewildering loss of control that comes in relinquishment. Without groan, says Brueggemann, there is no birth of newness. Without hope, there is no move out of groan. Faith, you see, involves enduring that long and anguishing groaning but with a vision and an anticipation of what is yet to emerge. That is faith as holy ground, a place where we, along with all creatures, are invited to enter at deep cost. Julian of Norwich heard the groaning of all creation in 14th century England. Julian lived for at least 2 decades in an anchor hold. That's a small cell attached to a medieval church. Many different versions of Julian circulate. The proto-feminist theologian, the cat-loving saint, the universalist mystic, the sage of suffering, the plague survivor, the first female writer in English, the soothing voice chanting that all will be well. 20 years is a long time to endure groaning. Julian did not rush to interpret the experience of her vision, but sat with it, waiting patiently for its meaning to emerge. Seeing suffering all around her, asking her own questions as to why things had to be the way they are. In her own isolation, it was that assurance that all will be well that gave her not only the strength to endure, but also gave her a vision for what was sure to emerge beyond the suffering. Her tiny, secluded cell, her waiting, became for her holy ground, a place where endless groaning gives way to the vision of what is yet to emerge through God's gracious rule. The Apostle Paul heard it, Julian heard it, and so do we. It's easy to hear the groaning, maybe impossible to ignore it. We hear the groaning of the oppressed, the groaning of the marginalized, the groaning of the terrorized, the groaning of the bereaved. Faithful to our call to stand with the vulnerable, we have begun to groan along with one another as community, groaning in solidarity with and compassion for any who suffer. But have we been able to catch a glimpse of what is struggling to emerge among us? If not, don't worry too much about that. It took Julian of Norwich 20 years for the understanding of her vision to emerge. And that 20-year mark was just halftime for Moses. He first stumbled onto holy ground on the backside of the wilderness, where he is working as an undercover shepherd to dodge retribution for a murder he had committed in Egypt. There he saw a bush that was on fire but not being consumed by that fire. Upon further investigation, the voice of God spoke to him from within the burning bush, and Moses listened. God told Moses to remove his shoes because he was standing on holy ground. There, he reluctantly responded to the call of God to return to Egypt to lead the Hebrews out of their servitude to the Egyptians. There, he was empowered for the task which God was calling him. We know the story, how the Hebrews wandered around the wilderness, sometimes following the path of the Lord toward the promised land, and sometimes following their own pursuits. Then, after 40 years, Moses once again found himself on holy ground. From atop Mount Pisgah, he was shown the land of promise in the distance, prohibited from entering it after 40 years of groaning. The vision was emerging, a long journey, a promise seen from afar, but emerging. Maybe not for Moses, but for those who had and would follow him. Through the ages, God's people have heard the call and taken up the vocation of developing and nurturing a faith in conditions that are far removed from scenes of Hallmark holiday specials. Believers through the ages have given us a faith that has been tested and proven as by fire. In the dimmest of times, our faith offers us the light of hope, a glimpse of possibility, even through the clouds of struggle. If there is a message for us today, it is to know that no matter how long the wait, how difficult the struggle, we too, even now, are on holy ground. This is holy ground, sanctified by our hearing and enduring the endless groaning of all creation, the groaning that is heard from the margins of those communities who find themselves most vulnerable, the groaning of the oppressed who long to be heard but who continue to be silenced as they have for so long. If ever there was a description of our day, it is that all creation is groaning. We know what it is to hear and endure that groan, but ours is a faith that eagerly waits for what is sure to yet emerge. Without groan, there is no birth of newness. Without hope, there is no move out of groan. To begin to get a glimpse of what is struggling to emerge, we have to stay with the groaning, not in resignation, mind you, but to infuse the groaning with our light and hope, with compassion and grace. Doing so has the power to dispel the darkness and to transform us. Such an infusion of light is already beginning to transform the groaning into holy ground, a place where the voice of God is heard, a place where the gracious rule of God is made known and new creation becomes visible. Ah, the gracious rule of God, a new creation. This is what all creation has been groaning for forever. A more caring, self-sacrificing, compassionate, an interdependent world. Emerging out of the groaning is a holy perspective, which no longer sees the glass as half empty, groaning in despair over the meaninglessness of our suffering. Emerging is a holy perspective that no longer sees the glass as half full, deaf to the agonizing groaning of those who suffer. Emerging is a holy perspective that waits with assurance for a whole new glass that is struggling even now to come forth. Standing on holy ground, let our groaning give way to the emerging song of hope as we sing with the Lord and the psalmist that our glass is not only full, but already our glass runneth over.